All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, or chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll read verses 2 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Then I'll pray, and we're going to jump right into the sermon. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. It's right after the book of 1 Thessalonians. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Let's read responsively. Ready, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is me, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all that your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Lord, I'd like to be a blessing to your people. I'd like to be a help. Lord, I don't think I've ever asked you to preach a good sermon. We have such wonderful truth. I just asked that it would be understandable so that it could help and bless your people. So Holy Spirit of God, fill me as I preach. May it help these your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 3 says that your faith groweth exceedingly. Growth is a natural part of life. Growth is a natural part of every kind of life. Plants are to grow, not just die. Trees are to grow. Animals are to grow so that we can shoot them and eat them. I mean, that's right. I'm going to preach truth whether you like it or not. But everything, people are meant to grow. When a baby is born, even though they're, you ladies think they're cute and cuddly when they're just hatched, ain't nothing uglier than a newborn baby. I'm sorry. But like a pink raisin with arms and legs. But a child, we would say something's wrong if it doesn't grow. Growth is a natural part of life. And by the way, I was listening to Brother Roloff this week. How many of you have ever heard Dr. Lester Roloff preach? Brother Roloff was homespun, country to the bone. He went to Baylor University, carried his milk cow with him, milked his way through college for room and board. Let me tell you, what a hoot. But he said something this week, and then he started preaching on it. I thought, you know, that's funny, but he's right. He said, a human being is born dumber than anything in the world. A cow, a horse, everything, all the animals, the moment they're born, they know exactly what to do, and they're not taught. They just do it by nature. An animal can feed itself at birth, but people can't. Humans are born really dumb. So don't get mad at the way the world is. We're all that way, but things are meant to grow. My wife and I were talking about our dog the other day, my little beagle. I got a white beagle. It's called a chick with an attitude. She is what she is, but we had her when she was just about 7 or 8 weeks old. And my wife's got some pictures of her, and her bowl was bigger than she was. I mean, she was only about that big. Her head's that big now, but she has grown a lot. I mean, she could fit in your hand, and tail barely came past your hand, you know. She was just a little thing, and ugly, good night. Even my wife said that was an ugly puppy, but she's filled out a little bit, and she's a little better than she was. But people grow. You take a child, they want to grow up. You know, I want to grow up, and I want to be like this person, or I want to grow up and be like this. Or as the and I won't use a name, but I have a pastor friend who texted me last night and said, Brother Bush, please pray for me. He said, I was on vacation this week with my family, and I decided to play Superman and jumped off a second-story balcony into a snowbank, and I missed, and he said, I broke both of my heels, and I'm in air casts right now. I said, what are you going to grow up? He said, I think I'm learning real fast. I said, at 51, I found out Superman's pretty stupid. He said, I hope it doesn't take me another 10 years to realize that. I said, well, you're well on your way. But anyway, we all want to grow. You say, why did he do that? I didn't ask that question, just so you know. I didn't want to know why. He was probably showing off to his boys, and it bit him real hard. You know, you look at your children, if you have grown adult children, and you remember when they were born. They were just so little. People are constantly growing. We're to grow in knowledge. We're to grow in many different areas of our life. And some of us are growing in areas we should quit growing in. But teens want to grow up and be adults. They want to grow up to drive, and then after they are driving, then they want to get married, and then they want children, and then they find out it wasn't everything they thought it was and wish they were back being a kid again. We're to grow in our work, we're to grow in our careers, we're to grow in our ability to handle life. We adults want things and people to grow also. You know, don't take this the wrong way, but I'm glad I don't have to bottle feed my adult children. Especially when they were teenagers. Man, them boys could eat, let me tell you. Them boys would eat you out of house and home. You say, why did you turn to hunting? I had to feed two boys. I made them go hunting too. That way we had extra tags, and you want to eat, you're going to go shoot it and help me. I had to feed them buggers. It got to the point where just go out and graze a while. I don't care. But you don't want to change the diaper of an adult child. You want your child to grow. You want people to grow. You don't plant a plant hoping that it stays a seed in the ground. Now, some of us are pretty good at that. But because we are made in God's image, God wants us to grow.
Yes, sir.
If we want things to grow, we want our children to grow. We want the things that we have to grow. But growth, this is where we're going to transition into the real truth here. Growth is not always adding more to something. I was born on May 23rd, 1967 at 7:16 p.m. I had 10 fingers. I had 10 toes. I had 2 ears, 2 eyes, 1 nose, and 1 big mouth with no teeth. Can I tell you something? 51 and a half years later, I still have 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 ears, 2 eyes, 1 nose, and an even bigger mouth. And I now have teeth, and they are mine. I don't have any that shouldn't be there, and these are mine. May I say this? I didn't grow more fingers. I didn't grow more toes. That's good, because it's hard keeping track of the 10 I have. I didn't grow more ears. I didn't grow more eyes. But I have grown. What I had has increased in size, and some things have really increased in size. Now, you take a baby's hand and put it up next to mine, that baby's hand isn't as big as the palm of my hand. I have grown. I didn't grow more fingers. I didn't grow more hands. But I have grown. So growth isn't always adding more things. Sometimes it's taking what you have and expanding it. You see, I don't need more fingers and more toes to say I'm growing. I just need to strengthen and grow what I do have. We have a mentality in our world today that we have to have more today than we had a year ago, or we've quit growing. And I disagree with that. I heard somebody, I've heard many somebodies preach this over the years. Well, if you didn't read more Bible this year than you read last year, you're backslidden. Well, folks, if you increase every year, there comes a point in time where you're going to be a monk in a monastery, as all you can do is read. You understand where I'm coming from here? It's not always that you increase the amount, you increase what you do with it. There comes a time when size is not the barometer of growth. We need to realize that there is more to growth than numbers. Sometimes it's adding to what you have. I'll be very personal for a second. Not afraid of it. I was 29 years old. I was working on staff at the world's largest Sunday school. I worked for Dr. Jack Hiles. I was 29 years old. Our auditorium sat 8,000 people. We ran 22 to 24,000 people every Sunday morning. We would have 7,000, 8,000 people on Sunday night. We would have 5,000 to 6,000 people on a Wednesday night. We had two grade schools, two junior highs, two high schools, and a Bible college. We had 965 employees. You're talking somewhere in the ballpark of a $16 to $18 million a year ministry that we had to bring in. $40,000 a day had to come in to take care of the needs of everything there. 29 years old, I'm one of 10 assistant pastors of that church. I had no business being there. You say, did you ask Brother Hiles? Nope, because I didn't want him to fire me. And then he decides he's going on vacation, and he asked me to preach on a Wednesday night. There's only been one other time in my life where I actually trembled in fear. And that was just a few months before then when he asked me to come work for him. I was trembling. Oh, I was scared to death. I'd never preached to a crowd that size. I'd preached to 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 people before, but 5,000 people standing in Dr. Jack Hiles' pulpit, all the men on the platform were the men that taught me in Bible college, and yeah, you're talking about the guppy preaching to Moby Dick. And that's how I felt. Man, I got through that service. I was scared to death. But let me bring it into a secular vein for a second so that you can understand where I'm coming from. When I got done, the next day I was almost a little depressed. Not because of how poorly I had done, but I had this thought. Where do I go from here? At 29 years old, I've hit the pinnacle of what a man can do as an assistant pastor. There's nowhere I can go to preach to more people in a greater place ever in the world. I hit the ceiling. And it was a little for me. And I'm a little bit driven, if you didn't know that. And it bothered me for a day or two. And I finally went to one of my co-workers that I respected, and I said, I'm a little down, and I can't figure it out. And he wisely said, I know what it is. And he began to tell me, he said, Brother Bush, he said, you can't go any higher, but you can do more of what you're doing. I thought, now that makes sense. He said, quit trying to reach higher. How about you do more of what you're doing? I can do that. I began to grow and grow. And I'm still trying to grow. I want to just give you three or four things here. I promise you it won't be long. And let me help you. Number one, growth to the Christian means fulfilling the Great Commission. Growth to the Christian means fulfilling the Great Commission. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. These are the last words of Jesus on earth before he goes back to heaven. This is after the death, the burial. This is after the 40 days after he resurrected from the dead, and he is about to go to heaven. These are his final words on earth. Look at verse number 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God said, it is our responsibility to go, to teach them, to get them saved, to get them baptized, and to teach them to go out and get people saved and baptized, and to teach them to teach those that they got saved and baptized to go out and tell others how to get saved and get baptized. The Great Commission is more than just you going out, and getting somebody saved, and getting somebody baptized. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
It's my job to go out and have people get saved. It's our job to bring them here and get them baptized. But it's also our job to teach them to go out and reach people to get saved and get baptized. And for them to teach the people that they got saved and get baptized to go out and get people saved and get baptized. That's how the gospel is spread. That's what we call the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. We're to teach everybody. Doesn't matter who they are. Red and yellow, black and white, doesn't matter. Skin color doesn't matter. Everybody's soul and spirit is the same. Doesn't matter if they speak English or Portuguese or Polish. It doesn't matter. We're to tell everybody that we can. Now, by helping others to learn the truth, we are growing ourselves, but we're also watching them grow. I'm so proud of Don and Debbie over here. Just a few weeks ago, they got saved. And Don, this is what, 25th service?
Yeah.
25th service in a row that he's been here. I haven't missed since the day he came. Yeah, he missed prayer breakfast Saturday. He's not upset about missing prayer. He missed the breakfast. That's what got him. Now, I'm very proud of them, and they're growing, and they're coming. They got saved. They got baptized, and they're starting to learn and grow. Hey, the best thing is when they start bringing others and start telling others. And then when they start teaching people that they brought to go out and teach others and bring others, that's when things really get exciting. That's what it's all about. Watching Miss Marcia grow. Good night. It's been fun. I remember the first conversation I had with her on the phone. And God just kind of knit her heart to Grace Baptist Church in a very unusual way. Over a period of a couple phone calls, and she totally changed plans. I wasn't trying to. I just was looking out for her and trying to be friendly. And God brought her here. Now she's working on the bus route with Mrs. Lopez on Saturdays. And she's got Talia sitting beside her. And she's had other folks here to church. And I'm watching her grow. And people around her I'm watching grow. Say, what is that? It's called the Great Commission. And as you grow, you're teaching somebody else to grow. And as they're growing, you're growing. Do you know I have to grow to stay ahead of you? When my kids were growing up, I didn't always know what the answer was, but I was smart enough to go down just a little farther and figure it out before they did, usually. You see, this allows, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we read this at the beginning, that our faith can grow exceedingly. God wants our faith to grow exceedingly. It doesn't mean you're adding faith to it. It means you're expanding what you do have. Our faith grows by planting it into the hearts and minds of others, by soul winning, by Sunday school, by church, by helping other people. I tell people this all the time. You can cancel any pity party or any depression party you have. Go out and help somebody.
Amen. That's good.
just go out and help somebody. Right. Now, I understand sometimes there's some medical issues involved in depression. I'm not going to get into that, but I'm talking generally. We are so self-centered. We're so focused on the negative. We're so focused on us. We're so focused on how something affects me. If you get your stinking eyes off yourself and realize somebody out there needs help, you'll feel a whole lot better about yourself and things. You see, we truly grow when we grow someone else. I hear people from time to time say, well, preacher, I just didn't want to bother you. Bother me. Amen. That's how I grow. Come, let me help you. That's how I grow. I need you to bring those to me so that I can help, because that makes me grow. Isn't that what it's all about? Us preachers are a weird breed. We're the only people that work hard at getting more problems. Because the more people we get, the more problems we have. And it's all right. It really is. I've counseled pastors this week. I counseled a young pastor this week that he's got a mess on his hands. I'm stepping him through really carefully how things are going. This is the first time I've ever done this, but I told a young pastor a topic he should preach in his church to help fix this problem, to head off a problem. I said, you can do what you want, but if it were me, I would be preaching on this topic this Sunday. Then I would deal with it at such and such time, and then just get everybody warned in advance, and then behind the scenes, you're working on it over here. I don't tell people what to do like that. A little bit later in the week, he texted me and said, just finished my Sunday morning sermon. He just about gave me the title of the topic I gave him, and using the same passage I referred to. I loved it. What did that do? Made me grow. But it made him grow too. By him growing, I had to grow. Does that make sense to everybody? Sure. As your children grew, you have to grow. As your friends grow, you have to grow. And in helping someone else grow, you grow. I remember when I started dating and I asked my dad, I said, Dad, when do you know you're ready to get married? His first answer was, never. Then he said, son, when you can give to someone else what's been given to you your whole life, then you're about ready. When you can take care of somebody else the way we've taken care of you, you're about ready. Boy, what a wise answer. What a wise answer. Growth is when you can care for someone else. This is going to be a little rude, I'm sorry, but just because you can pop a baby out doesn't mean you're ready to be a parent.
Amen. Right.
That's the nicest way I know how to say that. We got a bunch of people running around just because the government will give them more money per baby they pop out doesn't mean that they're ready to be good parents.
Right.
You got to be able to grow with them. My daddy taught me, don't have more kids than you have seats at the table, and thank God we only had 5 chairs. Yeah, buddy, I got 6 now. We ain't having no more. Grandkids are on the way, man. I'm done. Yeah, buddy. That door has been slammed shut, locked, barred up, and then blocked in, amen? Now, number 2, growth means to mature or to make larger. The word growth actually means to mature or to grow larger. It's not doing something new or different. It's doing more of what you do. Can I tell you where churches go wrong? They want to try something new. Christians want to try something new. You don't grow new fingers because you smashed one. Sometimes you wish you didn't have as many so you wouldn't hit them as often. Amen, Joe? Growing doesn't mean you get more things. It means you increase what you do have. As our church grows, we're not going to change Sunday school. We're just going to add Sunday school classes. Sunday school is still going to be at 9:45. The best follow-up program for a church and for a Christian is Sunday school. I'm convinced of that. I think every Christian needs Sunday school. Whether you're an infant, whether you're a small child, whether you're a teenager, whether you're an adult, we need Sunday school. Sunday school is the place where you learn and you fellowship with people that are pretty much so in your age or category so that you can grow. By the way, it's not bigger opportunities, it's more opportunity. I've preached in big churches. I've preached in little churches. I've preached in country churches that didn't even have indoor toilets. My mom and dad went to a church in Ohio. My wife's been there with me. And they had a two-seater. Two-seater is you got men's and a woman's, and it's just got a wall between them. And it was, and it wasn't Blue Huts. It was an old-fashioned outhouse. And I'm talking back in the 1980s, early 90s. I'm not kidding. I mean, the big joke was you either go at home or hold it till you get back home or go to the gas station down the road. They didn't have indoor toilets, but they had church. I've preached in little country churches. I've preached in big churches. I've preached to thousands, and I've preached to fives. Can I tell you something? It's not the size of the opportunity. It's making big of what you have. A lot of people have criticized my pastor, Brother Hiles. I've watched him preach in churches running 70 and 80 people. I've watched him walk into an auditorium not much bigger than this and preach to a crowd of people. And he preached as hard and as intense to 70, 80 people as he did to 8,000 the day before at First Baptist. I've watched him do it. You would have thought he was preaching the biggest conference in the world to 70 or 80 people. He was the same. He gave it everything he had. The crowd didn't determine what he was. Man, I love that. You're looking at one preacher, the size of the crowd doesn't increase my intensity or decrease it. Good night, if we have a snowstorm and you make it to church, I'm going to preach. Because I'm going to make it. Only been one time we couldn't, and 42 inches of snow did it. So unless we have another one of those, I'm going to be there. And I'm even closer to the church now, so I might make it anyway. You see, it's not bigger opportunities, it's more opportunities. We need to step up and be ready to help. We ought to be ready to step up and grow. Everybody listen to me for a second. As our church grows, I'm going to need more Sunday school teachers. I'm going to need more Sunday school helpers. We're going to need more nursery workers. We're going to need more junior church workers. We're going to need more people to help in. We're going to have parking lot attendants to help people get parked and greet people out at the doors. We're going to need all those kinds of things. Can I tell you something? We're all going to need to grow and step up into those things. Some of those things are going to require everybody to dress appropriately. I'm not mad at anybody, but if you go to the military, you have to wear a uniform. I think we ought to wear the uniform of a Christian when we're serving God at His house. And honestly, I think some of us ought to step up and do it 24/7. It's the right thing. If it's right at God's house, what's wrong with it at your house? So I think we need to learn to step up. I'm not going to beat anybody over the head about it. It's not. This church doesn't have a dress code to show up at, just so you know. Now, if somebody's half undressed, we might find something to throw over somebody. Nakedness is nakedness, and we're going to cover it up. Amen? But may I say this, I'm not going to shove somebody out because they don't have our dress standard. No. Bring them in. We'll teach them. They'll learn. They'll grow. It's okay. Amen. I'm not in a hurry to... and by the way, I don't judge anybody. But as we grow and as we start serving the Lord, and if we're going to serve in a capacity official at the church, I think we ought to step up into God's requirements for it. We need to step up and be ready for more opportunities in our new building. Men, I'm going to need more ushers. I'm going to need men that are willing to wear a shirt and tie and help usher at the new building. We're going to need men to help us with the parking lot duty. Amen, Brother Wiley? I'm going to put Brother Wiley in charge of my parking lot out there. What's that? It's not a matter of driving. It's where he tells them to park. All right, he doesn't have to drive their car. Thank God. If that were the case, and I'm not letting Mung touch him because she'll kill every deer in the county. She goes out hunting and can't kill a deer, but she can drive down the road and get six of them. I'm gonna need greeters. I really am. I'm gonna make sure we have greeters. I'm going to need people to volunteer to help clean the buildings. That means somebody might need to show up and help clean for a little while. There's going to be some vacuuming. There's going to be some mopping. There's going to be some cleaning nursery toys. Amen, Miss Mung? And nursery stuff. And that's not my area. We're going to need people that can help sing in the choir. And it's not going to be me. And it's not going to be Wiley either. We need to grow God's church by adding to it, not more things, but more of what we do. Amen. That's all it is. We're not supposed to add new things. We're supposed to increase what we do have. Amen. We'll add Sunday school classes. Then we'll add another junior church. When we build the second building, not if, when. When we build the second building, this will be the main entrance. This will all be nurseries, offices, and bathrooms and stuff here. The whole rest of the building will be auditorium. And then we'll build it high enough that when we fill all this, we can put a balcony here and add another 300 people in there. And this building, see how we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 classrooms and a junior church room there? We can start adding classrooms around this one and have another junior church right there, primaries and juniors. Then these rooms will all be teen rooms. And then these will come out and go to the auditorium over here while all these go right into the departments and go into junior church. We can have 22 Sunday school classrooms in there. Everybody doing all right, man? I'm having fun right now. See, I got more dreams than you can imagine. I've already stepped it out. Already know where I'm headed with it. You say, why? Because it's just more of what we're doing. We're not changing anything. Poor electrician. Bless his little heart. He didn't know what to do with me. He said, now, Pastor, what size screens are you putting in the auditorium? I said, zero. You're not putting television screens in here? You're not putting big screens up here? I said, uh-uh. He said, well, what rooms are going to have TV screens in them? I said, none. He said, what do you do? I said, preach and teach the Bible God's way. I said, they don't have rock music, don't have television screens. We're not a show. We're a church. We're not a show. Amen. I said, we don't have Follow the Bouncing Ball. I got song books. He said, boy, you are old-fashioned, aren't you? I said, yep, and we're having fun while we do it, and I plan on building a second building, so you better do this one right or you're not getting the next contract. Mr. Jimmy was standing there. He said, you better listen to the preacher. Trust me, you better listen to him. He said, now, what rooms are going to need cable hookup for television and things? I said, none.
It's a church, right?
He said, you mean you're not going to have it in your office? I said, well, I mean, in my office, I'm working, not watching TV. He said, you are different. And Jimmy poked him and said, you won't beat him to work either. He said, you won't drive by this building without seeing his truck here and a light on, I promise you. Can I tell you something? We're not going to change what we do. We're just going to increase what we do. Growth is maturing it. It's adding more of what you do. Does that make sense to everybody? Yes. Number three, I got to hurry. We need to grow in prayer. All of us could and probably should pray more. We need to grow closer to God by the time with Him, not just the amount of time with Him. Let me show you what I mean. I love my wife. Good night. We've been married 29 and a half years. Do you know there are days we don't get much time together, but we're still close? We'll send texts back and forth throughout the day to each other. I'll call her if I've been away for an extra long time or whatever. We spend a lot of time together, and when we're together, we're together. But may I say this, we don't always have a lot of time together. And when we do, just so you know, all the problems that you told me about, she doesn't know. I don't tell her. So if you if you have a problem and you've come to my office and talked to me about it, and you ladies go to my wife and say, did your husband tell you? She's going to say, no, because I don't. I really don't. She's not my assistant pastor. She's my wife. It's not her job to carry your burden. It's my job to carry it. Everybody doing okay? Amen. Now, she'll love you and she'll carry you if you come to her, but I'm not taking it to her. That's my job. So we need to grow closer to the Lord. We need to learn to pray for people to be saved. Let me ask you a question. In just a couple weeks, you'll have Christmas. You'll have family. I wonder how many of you have spent any time in prayer about the people that you'll be with over Christmas that are lost that need the gospel. Wouldn't it be a shame to sit down at a table with people that you love and find out somebody's dying and on their way to hell, and you did nothing to tell them about how to go to heaven? I'm going to be very personal for a second here. The man that built my house, the young man that built my house, oversaw it. He's a sharp young man. He's got the goods. Let me tell you, 25 years old and overseeing an entire subdivision, actually three. He's got the goods. He's got crews and crews and crews of men, hundreds of men that work for him. And they all respect him. I've never heard him raise his voice. Not one time. He's not a screaming, hollering, and most of the men that work for him are much older than he. But they all respect him. I don't mean this the wrong way. He has a little bit of intimidation about him, but it's very subtle. It's in a professional way. It's not in a personal way, but in a professional way. We walked through our church building. I showed him everything, and he was just amazed at some of the structural stuff in our church. We actually have two peaks in our building. We have one that's external. Right here's the middle of the building, but in the auditorium we have a natural pitch, and the underside of the trusses are made to where this, when you're in the auditorium, looks like it's the center of the building, but it's off center. So you had the top of your trusses doing one thing and the bottom of your trusses doing another. These are 12-foot walls. These are 10-foot walls everywhere else. And the trusses came down from that peak and come down an extra 2 feet to allow the 12-foot all the way around. It's unbelievable how it was constructed and designed by the engineer. Fabulous piece of architecture. It really is. He notices it. Well, I get to talk to him. And then I thought, man, I've got people praying about this guy getting saved. It's either put up or shut up. Sometimes I tell you things like that so I don't chicken out. I'm not kidding. I commit myself, so I have to try. The whole time I'm talking to him, I'm thinking, when am I going to get a chance? Lord, how are you going to do this? We're standing right here. And I said, Tyler, do you go to church anywhere? He said, well, I'm Catholic. I said, that's okay. God will forgive Catholics too. He kind of chuckled, and he said, no, he said, I really haven't been anywhere in a long time. He said, I'm not against anybody's religion, per se. He said, I just really don't do it much. He said, I need to. He said, my wife and I are talking about starting a family, and we really need to get this settled. I said, you sure do. I said, I'd love to have you come sometime, but I'm not here to force you to come to my church, or even, I said, I'll mention it, but that's it. I said, but there's something more important than going to church. He said, well, what's that? I said, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? Now, it's either put up or shut up at that moment. That's all I needed. All of a sudden, the fear was gone on me, and the fear was on him. And about 10 minutes later, he bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior. Whew. 2 hours later, I got a phone call to meet somebody out there, and a man hands me a $15,000 check. I wonder, had I not opened my mouth there, had God not put that check there. I wonder how many of those opportunities pass us by because we're a little afraid. I still have to do business with my builder. He's got to come back in another 3 or 4 weeks and fix all the dings and missed spots and all that kind of stuff in the house. I could blow it for myself, but it didn't. After he got saved, he looked at me. He said, "You know what? Thanks." I said, "For what?" He said, "You made something about the Bible very, very simple for me to understand that nobody else has ever been able to explain." He said, "It really doesn't gnaw at me, but I'm around death a little bit more than I used to be." And he said, "You do wonder from time to time." He said, "I guess I don't have to wonder anymore, do I?" I said, "No, you don't. No, you don't. We need to learn to pray. It'd be terrible to sit at the table with family and friends and never know for sure if they're going to go to heaven or not. When's the last time you prayed and cried for somebody to get saved? We need to learn to pray for the needs of others, folks that are sick. Good night, Wally, and Wally's sick, and Miss Weeda's been down, and Miss Martha's down with her hip replacement and everything, and others. We need to pray for visitors to come. We need to pray for right attitudes with each other. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit to control our lives as we live our life. And then next, and I'll finish very quickly, we need to grow in the Bible. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 very quickly. 2 Thessalonians, Hebrews, James, or Hebrews, Peter, James, Peter, yeah, something like that. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm sorry. 1 Peter, not 2. Can't even read my own writing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, watch this, that you may grow thereby. Folks, you need the Bible in order to grow as a Christian. Amen. I think you ought to come hear it preached every time you can come to church. But you also ought to be reading it on your own. Amen. I'm not saying you got to read 40 chapters a day. I've read the Bible all the way through this year 3 times. I'm on my 4th trip through. Got just a couple weeks. I won't make it a 4th time through, but I've read through the Bible 3 times this year on top of all my study. I don't always start in Genesis and end in Revelation. I rarely read through the Bible that way. I do sometimes, but I can't tell you I do it every year that way. But I have read every book of the Bible at least 3 times this year. Some of the books of the Bible I have read dozens of times. I'm not the greatest example, but I can tell you this. You say, why do you do that? Because I got to grow. You try preaching 3 times a week and teaching Sunday school and counseling and everything that I've got to do. I need the Word of God so I can grow. Amen. We need to read the right Bible, the King James Bible. Amen. We don't need to read man's words about what we think God said. We need to read God's words. I was helping with a funeral with Kathy's family about 2 weeks ago. And I wasn't leading it and didn't expect to. It was not one of those situations, but I got to take part in it and get the gospel out. But the reverend that was doing the talking was reading out of the NIV. Can I tell you something? I was sitting on my hands. Whew. I wanted to say, sit down and let me come unscrewed for a while. Yes. I really did. And I didn't get up and preach. And Brother Harry called me, Kathy called me and said, man, our family couldn't believe what kind of preacher you were. And I only talked for about 3 or 4 minutes. And I didn't even preach. I just read the right scriptures. Even as the guy, quote unquote, read scripture, it didn't sound like the Bible and it didn't flow. Thinking, man, there's a big difference between God's words and man's words. Yes, sir. Let's just gobble down God's words. It'll make you strong enough. We don't need modern methods. We need to do what the Bible says. Yes, sir. We don't need to add psychology. We need to add Bibleology. Amen. We don't need to be culturally and politically correct. I'd rather be biblically correct. Amen. You don't have to be rude to be a Christian. But what's that? It's just fun. Yeah, it's just fun. But I'm going to tell you what, this jerk that's out there saying, and I said it this morning, I'll say it again, there's some jerk came out liberal, this idiot this week, and said that God is a pervert and he's a rapist because he didn't give Mary a choice about the birth of the Savior. And number one, Mary didn't have sex with God.
That's right.
Amen. Stupid idiot. Number two, she stayed a virgin in hope of being the vessel to carry the Christ child, Amen. Like every Hebrew girl did.
Amen.
She did do it voluntarily, even though she didn't know she was the one.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? And it's blasphemy, it's God-hating, and it's stupid to think that God is a rapist because of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before I sit down and meet with that fella.
Amen.
Unless it's to give him the gospel. And that's after I punch him in the nose a minute. I say, that's not nice. That's okay, he'll listen. I have no qualms about saying that's ridiculous. And to say Charlie Brown and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is now wrong because it's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was bigotry and because they put down Bambi's mama and Bambi was disabled and it was different and all this politically correct garbage and it ought to be thrown away. Can I tell you something? People are really ignorant.
Amen.
You're right.
Really ignorant. Good night. Tom and Jerry was my favorite cartoon. Now it's rated PG.
Amen.
Violence. Yeah. Yeah, it's rated PG for violence. And yet you could have Power Rangers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that are all satanic powers. And that's okay. We can have Spider-Man and Batman and Marvel Comics that are all evil powers, dark powers, and that's okay, but Tom and Jerry's bad? No, it's good. The cat gets beat up every time. My favorite cartoon. Yeah, Roadrunner. Meep, meep, you know, Wile E. Coyote. And on and on. You know, we have become so politically correct and so culturally correct that we're idiots. I thank God for the musicians in our church, but can I tell you something? We're not going to get so culturally acceptable that we have symphony orchestras for church. We're going to have church.
Amen.
I'm not against folks playing their musics and the bass clarinets and the pianos and the git fiddles or whatever people come in, trumpets or whatever. Let's bring them in. Let's use them for God's glory. But it's not going to be playing Bach, Beethoven, and Chopin and all the rest of the stuff. Now, if you want to play it at home, have at it, but we're going to play gospel music here at church.
Amen.
And we're going to let it be. We're not going to change things to be culturally acceptable. Have you ever met some of those snobs? Did you ever go to one of those fancy restaurants and then stop at McDonald's on the way home because you're hungry? Good night. Can I tell you something? There are some people that they play to perform. How about we play to serve? How about we work to serve? God says we're to grow. It doesn't mean that you add more things necessarily. It means you increase what you have. And it's our job to grow as Christians, but it's our job also to help other people grow. And that's what God has to say. I'm done. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder who would say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed. I needed that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Most hands are up. How about we use the altar tonight and then let's do business with God.